in conversation, in charity. You know what that word is, right? It's love. We're going to hit that. In spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now look very closely at this next verse. This my Bible, I'm using the King James. I preach out of the King James. I use a lot of different translations when I'm preparing, but from the pulpit, I most of the time use King James. Neglect is that first word of that verse. Now we know what it is to neglect something. Someone told me the other day they had joined the Procrastinators Club and said he'd been a member a little over a year. He said the club hadn't met yet. We know what it means to neglect something. And so here he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Every single person that is in the hearing of my voice is blessed with a gift from God. You have a gift. You have a gift. Every person. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the Sunday school teachers. Every Christian has a gift, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now here he's talking about the ordination service. But every single Christian has a gift. And we through the study of the Scripture, you and I will understand that. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. In other words, pour yourself into that gift, that bend that God has given you. Pour yourself into that, wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, that your way of your life, you're going to give out a testimony. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. Now, he's not talking about salvation here. When he says you'll save yourself. Did you know that the Bible says that the one that dies to himself will live. And the one that lives for himself will die. That's what he's talking about here. And saving yourself. I don't think he's talking about salvation. You don't save yourself by doing works. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about being fulfilled. He's talking about finding that notch in your life that you are to be in and that I am to be in. That I save myself through doing what God has called me to do. Not salvation, because look what he says. Because we know that we can't save other people, right? But you not only save yourself, but them that hear thee. Okay, you may be seated. There is so much in this passage. I am overwhelmed with everything that is in this. And it's such a... Man, it has spoke to my heart and... in such a powerful way. I am so easily distracted. I don't know about you, but I am so easily distracted. Get my mind in the wrong place. I get to fooling with the wrong thing. I mean, I can potter around with something and just waste a day or a half a day or 2 days or a week or a month or something. I hope I haven't wasted this broke leg. My sister-in-law asked me yesterday, well, why did this happen? What have you learned? And I just had to be honest. I told my wife the other day, if there's been a test, I'm afraid I failed it. I don't know what I've learned. I don't know that I've learned anything. Maybe compassion more for those who have a broken bone. Those that can't do what they want to do. But here, Paul says, don't let your life be a waste. Don't potter around with something that, you know what that means, right? Don't monkey around. Well, I've come up with another one. I don't know where those come from, but don't fool around with something that is not going to accomplish God's purpose in your life. You would spend your entire me, I said I was preaching it to me, that I could spend my entire life not doing what the will of God is in my life and not ever reach that purpose that He has for me because I'm not willing to pour myself into the gift that He's given me. Now, I feel like that perhaps sometimes that I can pick out other people's gifts better than I can my own gift at times. I wish my gift was prophecy. It's not. I believe it's service. I'd gone to a home of a dying person, and it was a long, drawn-out death, and this person was unconscious. They were in their own bedroom, and the family was gathered around waiting for that death. And as the family was gathered around, they had told me, I came into the family and I prayed for them, and they told me, we've been singing mama songs, old church songs. So the next day I went, I took my old guitar. Now, I'm telling you, I am a three-chord wonder. Those of you that play the guitar know what that is. I know three or four chords. And if you sing with me, you got to be able to sing in G. But I took my guitar, and I sat down at the foot of that bed, and I gathered up with that family, and we began to sing old gospel songs. And when I left the room, not because I can sing or play the guitar, you know better than that, but when I left the room, I felt fulfilled. I felt like I did that day what God had called me to do that day. And here, Paul tells Timothy, in the gift that you have, pour yourself wholly into it. Pour yourself wholly into that gift that God has given you. So how do we do that? How do we pour ourselves into the gift that God has given us? Now, I want to bring up some what I believe that the Bible is teaching here in this passage today that has to do with every single person who is here. First of all, he tells us in verse 12 that age is no exception to the rule. Now, I know that Children's Church has already gone out. So I just want to focus in just a little bit. I know these young people like it whenever I focus in on them. But I'm telling you, if Jesus tarries very long at all, they're going to be the church. You and I are going to be gone, and they're going to be the church. Do y'all realize that? So you're going to have to start taking over. You've got to start taking over. You've got to start teaching in the Sunday school classes. You've got to get under a mentor. And you're going to have to take on leadership positions within the church. And you have to live your life as a Christian. Now, that's not going to save you. You've got to get saved first. But you must live your life as a born-again believer among those that are around you. Here Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Now I believe that Timothy was probably 30 or in his early 30s here. So you could say, well, that doesn't have to do with the teenagers. Oh yes, it does too. It has everything to do with you. In Proverbs 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. So what child is... He's not talking about a 30-year-old here. He's talking about a child. He's talking about a little child, perhaps. All the way up, teenagers, whatever. Even a child is known by his doings. You are known by the way you act. Amen. I tell you, if you... You can make one blunder and destroy your testimony, and it'll take you years to gain it back. Because what will happen is that everybody will think of you as that blunder. David wrote the Psalms. He was a great king, one of the greatest kings in Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. And yet, when most folks think of David, they think of his affair with Bathsheba. He pulled a blunder. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. In 2 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, are you listening to me today? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. That's Chronicles. Excuse me. 2 Chronicles 16. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's looking for people he can use. He's looking for young people. He's looking for Daniels and Shadrachs and Meshachs and Abednego that he can use in his service. Because you're young, that doesn't give you some kind of pass. Your testimony is valuable. And you can destroy it very easily. Think about young people. My wife told me before we got up, matter of fact, I think she told me twice not to forget to tell you that the young people, the Bible drillers, will drill tonight in our 6 o'clock service. We'll have a music service, and then the Bible drillers will have the church competition. You need to be, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to be here tonight to support these young people that are Bible drilling and to be overwhelmed by what they do. I'm telling you, you are going to be delighted. Here Paul tells Timothy, you be the pattern for the believers. First of all, he says, in your speech, your word. You be the pattern in your word. In other words, what comes out of your mouth, you be the pattern in what comes out of your mouth. Have you ever been ashamed of what come out of your mouth? Well, of course you have. Yeah. It's my mouth that gets me in trouble. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Whatever is in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Well, I said this, but you don't really know what was in my heart. Well, the Bible says that whatever's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. And it goes on and talks about your ears. What you look at, what you listen to, where you go. Your conversation. And this literally means your conduct. It's your way of life. Your conversation is not, he's speaking, your speech is what comes out of your mouth. But here your conversation is your conduct. How you live out your life. And he says that you and I are to be an example in how we live out our life. How we live it out. How we live out the Christian life. That folks ought to be able to look at my life and know that I'm a Christian by the way that I live out my life. They know that I don't do things that a Christian does not do. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 through 13, it talks about this next area. In the King James, it uses the word charity. It literally means love. That you and I are to be an example in love. Now this is not romantic love here. It is an example in agape love. It is an example in the kind of love that God loves us with. It is sacrificial love. It is not putting ourselves first. It is putting others first in our life. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Right. Now how can it get any more simple than that? It just can't. When we love, we want what is best for the other person. If I say that I love you, but I don't want what is best for you, I'm lying through my teeth. We've come to a place, a dangerous place in our lives and in our society, that we always put ourselves as number one. We're trying to climb the ladder. But if I love you, then I'm doing what is best for you. Amen. Whatever I say is what is best for you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith and so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Have we caught on yet? Love. Oh, maybe we better not read the rest of this, because it's going to start digging real deep here. love suffers long. I'm going to give you one more chance. If you don't straighten up, I'm through with you. Now that's suffering long, isn't it? Love suffers long and is kind. Well, he had it coming. I'm going to clean his plow and he needs it cleaned. Right? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. I think the King James uses easily provoked there. This is the New King James. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it shall all vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, love, these things. But the greatest of these is love. The fourth characteristic that Paul gives Timothy here is faith. That we are to be an example in faith. Now what is that? Faith is our trust in God for the needs of our life. That we are to be an example to other Christians in our trust of the Lord for the needs of our own life. And then he uses a word in, fifthly, he says in purity, that we're to be the example in purity. Now, as you do a little research on this word here, it has a base, and so it has a couple of different areas that you should consider as you consider the meaning of this word. One is something that is pure is not mixed with air. It is not mixed with any other element. If it's pure, it's pure. If this water is pure, it's pure. It doesn't have vinegar in it. It doesn't have dirt in it or sand in it. It's pure. It's pure. It's not mixed with something else. It doesn't have pornography mixed in with it. It doesn't have some kind of foreign matter mixed in with it. It is pure. But it also, the base meaning of this has to do with being sexually pure. That's what the bottom line is here as we look at this word. Not mixed with anything else. It comes from a word which means clean, innocent, modest, chaste. I think it refers to a person morally or sexually pure. We are to be pure sexually and morally. I've all my life I've had a little bit of this hot rod blood or something that gets in you as a teenager, and I never could get it out. I always loved hot rods and like the way they sound, like to hear the tires squall, still do like to hear the tires squall. There you go. Had one honest person in the whole church. I subscribed to the Hot Rod magazine for years. until they began to post inappropriate pictures of women. And I stopped getting it. And I had a good friend at Tuckerman, where I pastored at, and I was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days with a problem with my blood pressure. And he brought me a Hot Rod magazine. And he pitched it over on the bed where I was at, and he said, "There, when you don't have company, you can read that." And I didn't say anything. I kind of gritted my teeth. He said, "Don't worry." He said, "I censored it." He said, "I went through and tore out all the pictures that you don't need to be looking at." Amen. You see, there's more ways to keep yourself pure than just be faithful to your wife. Men, if you're looking at inappropriate pictures, you're not being faithful to your wife. You're being unfaithful. If you're looking at Hollywood's demonstration of what a woman is to be like, you've got the wrong picture. And you're not keeping yourself, and I'm not keeping myself pure in that. And so he says, as he ends this, he says, "Now, you got a gift. You've got a gift. God's given you a gift." Now, I don't know what Timothy's was. Maybe it was preaching. Maybe it was evangelizing. Maybe it was service. Maybe it was administration. I didn't hear him say anything about music or anything like that. But he had a gift. He had a bend in a direction that God had given him. But God has given every person here a spiritual gift that you are to work under. But you are to pour yourself in to that gift. You're to pour yourself in, and I am to pour myself in to that gift. That's the reason I said I'm always getting distracted from pouring myself in to that gift. I know when I'm doing my job, and I know when I'm not doing my job. I know when I'm pouring myself into it and when I'm not pouring myself into it, when I am distracted. And he tells Timothy, devote yourself to these things. Reading the Bible, both public and private, he says in this. Exhortation. This word exhortation means preaching, personal appeal. It literally means to proclamate the gospel wherever you're at. And I think that's all of our jobs, to make the appeal. He says in doctrine, the word doctrine here is those things that you believe that the Bible teaches. Well, I guess you could believe something that's not true doctrine. But that the Bible teaches, that's true. What is doctrine? Baptism is an act of obedience. It's not something that saves you. That's doctrine. When you get saved, you're eternally saved. That's doctrine. One man for one woman for a lifetime. That's doctrine. That's what the Bible teaches. It teaches a man marries a woman, and a woman marries a man. That's doctrine. That's what the Bible teaches. And anything outside of that is false doctrine. It's not what the Bible teaches. And there's not any true pastor that can stand in the pulpit and preach anything else without preaching false doctrine. Are you with me, church? Till I come, he says, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching, and personal appeals, and to teaching. And instilling doctrine. Don't neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly departed to you by the Holy Spirit, by prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. Practice and cultivate, meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry, so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Look well to yourself, to your own personality, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. Hold to them, for by so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let's stand together. As our musicians come, and as you and I think about what we're going to do today in response to God's invitation, first of all, if you're here and not a Christian, I invite you to make a decision today to step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, and by your coming, you're saying,